Listen when you want, how you want. This is Tone FM.
Listen again.
On your smart speaker and across the county town on 107.8 Tone FM. It's Giles Cosgrove here, and I'm joined by, I mean, the word legend does get used way too much, but in this case, I'm going to let it slide. I'm joined by the legend that is John Lydon, Johnny Rossen. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us here on Tone FM.
Hello, if legend is a measure of time and substance, yeah, I'll have it.
Well, I'm glad you will. I'm glad you will. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I've grown up listening to your music in all its various forms, and you're about to head off around the world on a one-man In Conversation tour. I Could Be Wrong, I Could Be Right is the name of the tour. It's sold out at the Brew House in Taunton. What can people expect?
Well, hello, Taunton. What they can expect is it's a Q&A, so ask good questions, you'll get great answers. Right? I'm not one to fob about or tell fibs. I can't be bothered with any of that. I tell it like it is. And oddly enough, I find in life that the truth is far more hilarious than the lies.
Absolutely. So
it's like Norman Wisdom does philosophy.
Why wasn't that the tagline for this tour?
Yeah, well, you know, fair play to Norman, but this is Johnny World. Well, it's a nod and a wink to, like, you know, the culture I come from, which is like British and very, very witty. We just have a wonderful way, us British folk, of dealing with the insensibilities of politics and religion.
Yes.
And that's how it is. I come from reality. I talk reality. I speak as I find. And I find it much better that way. And that's basically it, the story of my life, in that I've never cowtailed to the industry. I've always been seen as difficult to work with. F-ing success, mate.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, you are undeniably true to yourself. And in this day and age, it's not always easy to be that. I mean, on the poster for the tour are the words untamed, unscripted, uncensored. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about, or is everything on the table?
Everything is on the table, so long as it's in my life's experience. I'm not going to wax lyrical about Elon Musk in outer space in a car. I can't talk about things I don't know about, all right?
Yeah.
So we have to work it reasonably around. It's the story of my life, and I don't mind sharing that with people. Now, when this tour was originally booked, I thought I could handle it, but I then went through that period of my lovely wife dying.
Yeah.
Slowly and tragic. And I'm now a bit overwhelmed with that, but I'm learning to cope with it, and I want to share some of those experiences. Not that it was the greatest tragedy the world has ever known, but I learned an awful lot about how to help people with Alzheimer's. And so that's all positive. Believe me, most of it is hilarious. It really is, if you have the right frame of mind. And then, horribly enough, my best mate, John Rambo Stevens, went and died of an aneurysm recently. And he was the rock on which this church stands in terms of he wouldn't take no rubbish from me. He was the greatest friend I've ever had. I miss him very, very much. And now doing this alone is quite odd. But he booked this tour, so out of respect for him, I'm going to slag him off for 40 solid nights.
I'm sure it's what he would have wanted. So this is your way of relaying the wisdom you've accumulated.
Like me, he wouldn't take a lie. He just wouldn't, right? And wouldn't put forth a lie. Couldn't live with it. That was our commonality. We come from very, very different aspects of how we viewed life. But then you'll find this about me, that most of my best friends completely disagree with me. What I like is their honesty. And I'm really, really happy with different points of view. I'm always unhappy when it's the Church of the Converted. This is unappealing, right? It's as human beings, I think, is our greatest gift is diversity of thought.
Yes.
Not race, creed, and colour. Thought.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And across race, creed, and colour, one unifying language is music. And you're best known to a number of people for your work in music. What were the bands and artists that first got you into music? Who were those formative influences?
Flayed, Sweet, Uriah Heep, Hawkwind, T-Rex, Mark Bolan, Dave Bowie, Alex Harvey Band, you name it, it's all there, and it's all British, oddly enough, which is, I find really puzzling. There's a train of thought at the moment coming out of New York, wouldn't you know it, saying that punk was originated there. Well, how on earth could it be? I never heard these bands. I was already fully at it. And my whole background, the songs I write and sing, is about my social experiences as a Britisher. I may have Irish inheritance in me, but believe me, the Union Jack is firm. They will always be in England in me. Eh? Always. And I don't like what we are as a British culture being strip mined by the intelligentsia of New York in a 40 years later perspective. They're misunderstanding it entirely.
as you were saying, punk, very much a British movement. And at the forefront of that was your band, the Sex Pistols. It goes without saying, changed everything. But I'm interested in it from what it was like on the inside looking out for you at the center of it all. Was there a moment when you realized this was really going somewhere and getting big?
No, we started as like a somewhat of a fiasco. Malcolm claims he spotted me in an I Hate Pink Floyd t-shirt. It was actually Bernie Rhodes who went on to manage the Clash, got me to meet up and sing around a jukebox. And on the jukebox was a record I knew by Alice Cooper. I loved Alice Cooper. There is a lot of American influence, but on a major league, not minor.
Mm.
Hey, I don't like it. That was the first time I'd ever like attempted singing. I have no doubt it was vile and terrible. But for some reason, I kind of got the job that didn't pay. And from there on in, we grew to dislike each other, as we did initially. I suppose the closest to a friend in it I ever had was Paul Cook. But, you know, that man's a turncoat in so many different ways. But it was great because as bad as Steve was, or he thought he was, and wanted to give up, I would be constantly encouraging him because I found the tonal miscreants in between his notes to be thrilling to my mind. I had plenty of ideas about poems and writing books and stuff at the time, but I never considered putting it to music. And I found I really hooked well in there with Steve. It's a shame he didn't think the same. But it was that, I suppose, alienship inside the band that kind of gave us that driving energy. Great songs came out of the confusion of emotions. And there it goes, you know. None of that was predictable. And nobody even thought, right up to the bitter end, that it was ever going anywhere. I never had any concept of, oh, we're going to be a financial success. It was never, ever in anyone's mind. And if it was, then they were really endless.
You were talking there about journalists in New York talking about a scene 30 or 40 years in the past they weren't a part of. For those like myself.
Now, isn't it? Bloody hell, exactly. Now I think about it. Yeah. They weren't part of it, and they're trying to rewrite history. It's the shame and the tragedy of I know this because I got a history A level when I was young, that I very quickly learned that history is in the eye of the beholder. Well, it's not narrowly based in truth.
Let's get into your eye then. So for someone like myself, who was definitely not around at the time, could you paint a picture of the difference between yourselves and that scene, what else was going on in the charts at the time, and what it was like in the studio working on that debut album?
Well, at the time, Britain was in a state of upheaval. There were riots, there were demonstrations, there were strikes. Particularly influential was the garbage strike. The dustmen refused to pick up the trash. So people would have to go out and buy their own plastic bags and make sure the rats didn't tear them apart. Well, it was a very clever idea of one garbage bag supplier to not deliver them in black, but pink and bright green, you know, to bump up the neighborhood and somehow make it not look like trash. This was perfect punk clothing, man. They gave it to us on a plate. And girls look extremely pretty in chains and nose rings in pink plastic. It just, you know, created a whole new opening. Girls became equal with men. Men became equal with girls. We fought everything on every single level and conquered an incredible thing in British society that we kind of brought it all together by being chaotic and absorbing these influences of trash bags or the decline of music turning into Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and yes, this is all mediocre stuff at best. Like some of it, not a lot, but it was all very pretentious and out of your hands and taken away from you. And being a working class lad, I really resented that. And dare anybody tell me I need a college education in music before I can attempt to how I am an antichrist.
The chaos, the influences, it all came together on Never Mind the B***s, Here's the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think our suspicion and mistrust because of the Chinese whispers of the alleged management actually unified us. We found a great, I did in particular, the animosity I turned into a direct positive energy.
Standout track for me has always been God Save the Queen, and I don't think I'm alone in that. What was the story behind that track? Because it started off as a song called No Future, didn't it?
Yeah, by me, because of the end refrain. But it was a song that broke the band up. Glenn couldn't work with it because of the line and her fascist regime. You're fascist. Oh, I can't work with you. He completely misunderstood it, as indeed a great many people did, which no doubt was to our benefit. But ultimately, this is not like condemning the royal family as human beings, but the absolute state of monarchy was repulsive in a situation of great political turmoil and poverty. You know, let's not forget the football riots, shall we? Et cetera, et cetera. The country was, as a speeding train, well off the rails.
Potential hate bomb.
this, right? This ultimate fiasco of, oh, if you say this, you're a racist. If you say that, you're a capitalist. There's these instant conclusions on us. It's not reality. It's not what normal working people feel, you know?
Do you think then that the country...
Let me give you an example. I'm having a problem at the moment updating my British passport. They're asking me to prove who I am. I'm in America, right? Mm. So that's a difficulty, getting my birth certificate and all that together. And as I said to the British passport people yesterday, done this, just wasting my time with like idiotic questions. It's, should I just get a canoe and paddle over from France? Would that be easier for you? Right? At least I'd get a flat out of it, a cell phone, and a monthly wage.
Do you think then that in the current geopolitical landscape, there is a gap or a crying out even for an artist or a band in the same vein as the Pistols?
For common sense, yeah. And common sense is not always instantly understood. Sometimes it can be seen as like violent, which would be the wrong approach, but it can be perceived as that. I mean, I'm the proof of that. I proved that my words are much more violent than fists, guns, and bombs and bullets. And you achieve a hell of a lot more. Ultimately, me, if I was going to follow a philosophy at all, it would be Gandhi, passive resistance. Because I do not believe that the second you start to kill people, that you have any cause at all.
Can that gap, can that void be filled by music? Can someone in this day and
music
age...
Music is a great, great leveler.
Mm.
It really is. And it's a shame there's so many bands out there making their political stances. They're either extremely left or extremely right. I'm the kind of a fella that, like, if I was a bird, I'd need both wings to fly. And I'm not going to, like, swing that way or that way, because it's convenient and fashionable. That's the trouble with it. It's now the world, everybody wants an opinion, but they're not prepared to spend the time to research if that opinion is actually correct or just currently socially acceptable. Be careful, boys and girls, because that's how the Nazis got in. Eh? And Nazis might disguise themselves in many ways. I think currently they're avoiding right-wing Nazism. I think left-wing seems to be their most convenient route, as espoused by many students. It's very difficult for me to communicate with the modern student body because they automatically want to make assumptions.
I mean, you're communicating with the modern student body right now. I'm a student myself.
Hello!
Hello!
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. The world is incredibly grey.
If you want me to make it clearer, I will. Mm. This was the case when I first started. Student unions would offer us gigs, but the students would turn up and boo before we even started. And it's still that way, that colleges and universities don't allow diversity of opinion. And I'm Johnny, man. I need to hear the Zig Heilers as much as I do the Marxists. I need to hear both at the same time. And on that, and full-on information from both sides, will I formulate an opinion? Not the other way.
Mm.
Right? Don't shout anybody down because they may differ from you. In fact, accolade them for that.
To expand on something you were referring to earlier about current bands, what do you make? You've seen a lot of things, you've been to a lot of places. What do you make of the current state of the music industry?
After the two-year lockdown of COVID, it's quite a different kettle of piranha. It's very, very difficult to formulate anything or get anything back together again, because financially, for the music business, that was crippling. Crippling. So it's I have to really, and at the same time, I have to in my mind bear in mind I'm going out here on my own and I'm facing the consequences of a full-on crowd, 40 nights in 48 days. How am I going to wedge all that? Well, we'll see if I sink or swim. because on that I will base the merits situation of, yeah, I'll go back out on the road again.
Right. So this is going to decide whether you go on tour again in future musically.
Yeah. To see if I can cope with, the two sad losses in my life, my lovely wife and my best mate. It's to see if there's people out there prepared to give me a go.
It's not an easy thing to do what you're doing.
It's not, and I have to raise the money to do that because we're independent, man. We don't have any record company backing. We don't have advances. We live off our earnings. It's like the modern public image, the last three albums, has been like a wheel. It's go on tour, earn the money to get you back in the studio, to make a record, to get you back on tour. It's like that. It's cyclical.
Isn't that how it used to be, though?
No, it used to be huge advances if you cooperate with the board.
Right.
You know, the mind-numbingly tedious, like, opinionated board of selfishly self-appointed directors that every company was run by. They decide what they wanted your next single to be. And lo and behold, man, this is how I earned the title. Difficult to work with.
It's never made sense to me for people like that to be in charge because they've studied finance and business. They haven't studied art and anything creative. So for them to be dictating what your next single is or what your album ought to be, you can completely understand where you guys came from with that whole punk ethos of I'm going to do it myself, because being dictated to like that in art just doesn't work, surely.
It doesn't. And we were thrown into the deep end and finding that the biggest resentment wasn't so much these board meetings, B-O-R-E-D, which didn't involve us, but the actual music journalists and the media would be backing that philosophy. So we found ourselves very, very quickly like boxed as like alien to good taste. And in would come the likes of Rick Wakeman and Steve Harley from Cockney Rebel. Like, oh, it's not music. Well, f*** off.
Well said, sir.
You know, I'll tell you music then. My Old Man's Dustman by Lonnie Dunnigan.
Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big gold nail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up, but he calls them Daisy Roots.
That's a tune, in fairness.
Your chewing gum loses its flavour on the bedpost overnight. All right, this is the stuff I was brought up on. Not great bits of thievery off Mozart and Bach.
The pistol was notoriously imploded, and in your case, out of the ashes came Public Image Limited, or PIL. And the sound of that, yet again in your musical career, was completely ahead of everyone else. If you compare something like The Order of Death to Anarchy in the UK, there's a vast gulf between them.
This is what you want, this is what you get. This is what you want, this is what you get. This is what you want, this is what you get. This is what you want, this is what you get. This is what you want, this is what you get.
Thank you.
where did the sound of Pill come from?
Well, it must be me. I always have a point of surrounding myself with people that not only think different to me, but are honest and have a sense of integrity. And out of that, great things happen, right? It's I don't always agree with everything any band member I've ever worked with says, but by God, I love their honesty. And that's what creates what it creates. It comes out of a good, heartwarming sense of soul.
Mm.
There's no other way to put it. It sounds pretentious, but actually that's, you know, the way the cards fall sometimes. And if they fall wrong and you don't like it and you think a record company's trying to manipulate, well, then you find another way around it. I mean, I'll give you an example there with an album.
Mm.
You know, fair play to Chris Laswell. He was right. My band did stink the place up. They were too young, poor kids, you know, when I wrote the album. And they couldn't rehearse it, the songs, properly in New York. And so we immediately had to go and find substitutes. Now, it's like no one in their right mind would think, oh, let's get Ginger Baker in as a drummer. But Chris Blackwell, knowing me, Bill Laswell. Why did I say Chris Blackwell? Oh, because he was an influence on me years earlier. But Bill Laswell went, well, why not? We'll give him a ring. Bingo. Up he turns. And it was fantastic.
Mm.
What a solid human being. Not one word of nonsense out of him. Absolutely as it is. For me, he was pure working class at his finest.
Excellent. The last three most recent Pill albums are actually being re-released on cassette for Record Store Day later this year. What are your thoughts on the wave of nostalgia for vinyl and cassettes?
I got no idea about that, but I've still got an old Pioneer cassette deck, and I love it. And I play most of my music actually through cassettes. I still love that format. I've still got cassettes going back to the mid-70s of early reggae, and they sound as good to me and as solid as they should. Hi-fi fanatics with, you know, their precious, tedious, class A things don't understand that music really is all about volume.
This is exactly the conversation we were having before this started, because you were showing me your massive speakers, and I reckon they could tear someone's clothes off. What are you listening to at the moment through your speaker system?
Well, the thing is that all recording studios, none of them use Class A amplification. None of it is hi-fi, right? So if you want to get the truest spirit and essence out of the music, imitate the studios you recorded them in.
Mm, right, okay.
Not some complex diddy-coy piece of machinery that costs you $20,000. You won't enjoy it because it's the art of subterfuge, I suppose, trying to mask away the tougher and rougher elements of it. And those are the very things that we all love, don't we? I mean, we like our punk solid.
It's the conversation I have with a lot of up-and-coming bands. I always tell them, they tell me their music isn't ready yet. It needs to be polished and finished. And I'm like, just give me the demo, because that will sound just as good, if not better, because it's rawer, it's more immediate. It sounds like what you sound live.
Yes, sir. I tell you this. This is an absolute fact. And it's something that Pill uses a lot. The early monitor mix before you put it into the desk is always the better choice. It just is. Once you start fiddling around with frequencies, it becomes a wash, a blancmange of music. And you end up with tubular titties.
Are there any bands or artists around at the moment that you're really enjoying listening to? Anybody that we should be hearing that you think, oh, that's fantastic, you should listen to this?
Well, it's an old lot, but I haven't paid much attention to music because I've had a lot of grief to deal with, fella.
Yes.
But the Viagra Boys bring great joy to me. They're so fun. And I suppose ways that most people don't understand, but I can hear Captain Beefheart in there.
Yeah.
I can hear all those other things. I can hear the Stooges. I can hear all those great textures in what is like viewed as just simplistic stuff and very, very witty lyrics. Very, very great. The cross-culturalism of the singer is highly appreciated by me. I'd like to meet him at some point. I love the way he's so proud of his beer belly. Ah, oh, there's hope for us all.
Oh, thank goodness for that. A couple of quick fire questions before we wrap up. We were talking earlier about music being a way of expressing cultural diversity, political opinion. Would you say possibly that rap is the new punk?
No, it started out that way. and I've got very many friends in rap, particularly from the early days, but it went into a black-only universe there for a while, which kind of defeated the point. I love Eminem's pace and diversity of lyrics, but I always find the tunes to be a little bit on the flute solo side, shall we say?
I know exactly what you mean.
And so it's like, it's nice, it's great, but really, is that an entire category where everybody just shouts a lot of things at you as fast as they possibly can? It really doesn't leave much breathing space for the listener to be able to think for themselves.
Is there anywhere that you're really particularly looking forward to going up, going to see and going to visit on tour?
Oh, every single British seaside town that's in it. And of course, all those in between. But the dilapidation of Britain is quite disturbing to me. Mm. When I was young, this is before touring with my first band, used to love going to them seaside towns, a sense of joviality that working class people could get together in them beach scenarios. It was like overwhelmingly brilliant. Welcome to my show. It's about Britain and being British and how beautiful we are.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you ever so much for joining me. And I look forward,
I'm sure
we all look forward to seeing you on tour.
Don't forget, Norman Wisdom meets philosophy.
Listen when you want, how you want. This was a Tone FM Listen Again.
All rights reserved, 2023.